is very definitely guilty. So that's right, you need to hold that like that. You're guilty. But Jesus, we know, is innocent, don't we? So, Jesus, oh, you're going to have to hold that the other way up. There we go. Jesus is definitely innocent. He hadn't done anything wrong. Pilate couldn't find anything he'd done wrong. That's why Pilate washed his hands in front of the crowd to say, I'm not responsible for this. I can't find anything wrong with him. But something strange happened. See, as Jesus and Barabbas were in front of Pilate, Pilate did this thing. And it seems like he did this every year, that Pilate would release one of the prisoners for the crowd, whoever everyone wanted to release. Well, he put up in front of them guilty Barabbas and innocent Jesus. He put up in front of them a murderer and someone whom he couldn't find anything wrong with. Well, I mean, you'd think the crowd would think this was obvious. Who do you want set free? Well, you don't want a murderer set free, do you? You want someone who hasn't done anything wrong set free. But the religious leaders got the crowd all whipped up, wanting Jesus crucified. So they had the guilty one set free and the innocent one taken away to be crucified, to be whipped and crucified. But that's not the strange thing. That's not the really strange thing, I think. I mean, yeah, that's bad. Of course, you shouldn't have the guilty one being set free and the innocent one punished. That's not the right way round. But that's not the strange thing. See, I think the strange thing is this. Jesus had no lines in that bit, did he? He didn't say anything. If you were being punished for something you hadn't done, you would complain, wouldn't you? If you're put on the naughty step, or if something happens to you where your parents say, right, this is your discipline, this is your punishment. Yeah, but I didn't do it. I didn't do anything wrong. You wouldn't just go, oh, okay. You would be in outrage. You'd be saying, but this isn't fair. I didn't do it. And you'd go on and on. You'd be outraged, wouldn't you? Jesus says nothing. It's like this is his plan. And it is that this would happen. You've got guilty Barabbas and you've got innocent Jesus. Guilty Barabbas is set free. You can go. Thank you, Pippa. But innocent Jesus is taken away to be crucified. And we'll follow the story in just a few moments. Thank you, Peter. They said at the beginning, the soldiers treated Jesus as if he was guilty. They spat at him, beat him with a stick, dressed him up as a ridiculous king and pretended to worship him. But they were just ridiculing him, treating him as if he was guilty and taking him away and crucifying him. And do you remember who they crucified him between? Two, well, it says bandits there. I think of Wild West bandits when I hear that. But it was two criminals, two people who were definitely guilty. In other words, they're saying Jesus is like these other two, guilty. And the crowds treat Jesus as guilty. They shout their insults at him. And the religious leaders treat Jesus as if he's guilty, ridiculing him. But the surprise in this part of the story, I think, is then what Jesus cries out. Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? In other words, Jesus, what he's doing there is quoting from the Old Testament, quoting from a psalm. But what he's saying is, God, you are treating me as if I'm guilty. Everyone is treating Jesus as guilty. All the people, the crowd, the soldiers, and Jesus on the cross is saying, God is treating him as if he's guilty. But he's innocent. Surely God knows that. What's going on? Well, we'll think about that more in a few moments.
So let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you are our Saviour, that you died for each one of us, that you love us so much. Thank you. My dearest Saviour, thank you for loving me so much that you were willing and prepared to die for me. Forgive me for the many times I disobey and take so lightly. I praise you. Dear Father, from all my strange ways, help me to follow you. Thank you for all that you have done for me. Lord, we are so grateful that we come with grateful hearts to you. Amen. And so we move on with our journey, and we come to the burial of Jesus. When it was evening, a rich man from Arimathea arrived. His name was Joseph, and he was also a disciple of Jesus. He went into the presence of Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate gave orders for the body to be given to Joseph. So Joseph took it and wrapped it in a new linen sheet and placed it in his own tomb, which he had just recently dug out of a solid rock. Then he rolled a large stone across the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there, facing the tomb. The next day, which was the Sabbath, the chief priests and Pharisees met with Pilate.
We remember that while that liar was still alive, he said, "I will be raised to life 3 days later." Give orders then for his tomb to be carefully guarded until the third day, so that his disciples will not be able to go and steal the body, and then tell people that he was raised from death. This last lie would be even worse than the first one.
Take a guard. Go and make the tomb as secure as you can.
So they left and made the tomb secure, and leaving a guard to watch. So we will put our stone in front of the tomb where Jesus' body lay, and the guard was there to watch.
Jesus dies a criminal's death, and his body is put in the tomb. Now we need to think, okay, what's going on there? Why is innocent Jesus dying the death of someone who's guilty? Why is he being treated as guilty, even by God? Well, there's a verse in 2 Corinthians that helps us to understand what's going on. It says this: God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, what's going on here involves us. We are a part of this too. And it's saying what God did when Jesus died on the cross. It says God made him who had no sin, no badness, no wrongdoing in him. In other words, Jesus. God, that verse is saying Jesus genuinely was innocent. He had done nothing wrong. He had no sin on him. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Because you see, we are sinful. We are guilty. The Bible tells us there is no one righteous, not even one. We are all guilty. We are all sinners. We all do things, say things, think things that are against what God would have us do, think, and say. We are guilty. But it says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. In other words, Jesus on the cross was taking our guilt for us. He was guilty on the cross, not of his own sin, not of his own badness, but our sin placed on him. God the Father was angry with Jesus, pouring out his anger on his Son as his Son hung on the cross, because on Jesus was placed our sin, our badness. He was getting the punishment we deserve as he hung there. He did it willingly, which is why he didn't cry out at all. This was his plan, that he would take our sin and die a guilty death in our place. The verse says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In other words, Jesus' innocence comes to us. The swap takes place, doesn't it? Jesus takes our guilt, our sin, we get his innocence, so that we might have his righteousness, the verse calls it. And that is an amazing swap. And Jesus was doing it there and then, on the cross, as he was dying, swapping for you and me, that we might have his innocence. Peter, would you have a seat? Thank you. This is the greatest news that there has ever been. This is the most wonderful news that there has ever been, that when Jesus died on the cross, he was swapping for us. Him innocent, us guilty, him taking our guilt, we receiving his innocence. You and I need our sin, our badness dealt with. And God says to you and me today, Jesus has made it possible for all your sin, all your badness to be dealt with through Jesus' death in our place. Will you come to Jesus for forgiveness if you haven't done so yet? It's the most important decision we will ever make. He longs for you to come to him and have your sin dealt with. It's why he gave his life. However you've lived your life so far, however bad you've been, whatever wrong you have done can be dealt with. There is no sin so small that it doesn't need forgiveness. And there is no sin so big that Jesus' death can't cover it. Will you come to Jesus? Come to him today. If you want to find out more, we've got leaflets that you can pick up as you leave. We're going to run a Christianity Explored course next term as well, if you want to come on that to find out more. Jesus, the innocent one, died the death of a guilty person so that we who are guilty could have his innocence.
Isn't that amazing? So today we leave Christ in the tomb, but we know that that's not the end, that his footsteps lead us on to Easter Day, where we remember him rising and that he is alive today and forevermore, and that he loves us so much. Lord, we just thank you for what you've done for each one of us, for your being here with us now, and for being with us always. One day we will see you in heaven, where you will greet us, and we will be with you forever. Amen.